X Ari, welcome to the Career Musician Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Nomad.
Yes, man. Sorry for the craziness trying to get it scheduled, right?
No, it's all good. Health first.
That's right. That's right. Thank goodness I got better. And how did you fare through the pandemic? Did you get the old COVID?
Okay, I somehow did not get it.
Nice.
And I've been exposed many times and I haven't gotten it.
Wow.
I think maybe I'm resistant, but I don't want to like believe that, you know, but maybe because of all the exposure. But honestly, I loved COVID. I didn't love that people were getting sick or passing away. Like, that's not what I mean.
No, I
But I loved the like downtime to reflect and recenter and recalibrate and come up with new ideas. I think a lot of like when there's a block, we come up with creative solutions, right? And I think Zoom is one of the beautiful things that emerged out of the pandemic and enabled us to connect all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a whole EP on Zoom, you know, and I recorded it at home and for the first time, so it taught me how to record my own vocals at home. So a lot of like benefits came to me, self-exploration, a lot of because of the introspective time.
Nice. That's so perfect. It's funny because a lot of people would check up on me. Hey, man, seeing how you doing? What's going on? I'm like, this is my normal life. I'm stuck in my studio 24/7 anyway. Like,
yeah.
It's what I do, you know? So as musicians, as creatives, I do think there's a part of that, you know, seclusion, right, is what you're saying. That's the good part.
Yeah. Well, I was doing like 5 days a week songwriting, going from studio to studio. So that kind of like stopped for me.
Right.
But then I filled it in with other things. And I also work from home on other projects.
Good. All right, so you're from
Toronto,
right? How long have you been out here in LA?
I came out here in 2014 and I was like, what is this place? You know, like, this is like where you need to be for the music industry. It's like all, this is like the pulse of the music industry, entertainment in general. And at first, my ex-boyfriend was like, oh, come check it out. I just got my visa. Let's see what it's about. And then I was like, never mind you. I'm coming here with or without you. And then I got my visa. And I ended up staying, and I went back and forth. I was bi-coastal for a few years, and I made a more permanent move in 2017.
Mm. That's a good point that you say about the visa. For people trying to come in from other countries, can you shed some light on that, maybe?
Oh, it's
especially
really,
Canada?
Yeah, it's really hard, actually. So I'm on an O1, which is like outstanding ability, which just feels really lame to say about myself. But I needed to show like that like there's only one me and all my credits and that I'm needed in the city for 3 years and show proof of deal memos and contracts and like a lot. Like the stack is like this big of what you need to provide. So yeah, it's a lot of work. It's possible, but...
Is that on a recurring cycle? You have to keep proving your case?
Every 3 years until I get my green card, which hopefully I'll get next.
And then how many times do you have to go through that process before you get a green card?
You can go straight for your green card, but you really need to be like super exceptional to go straight for the green card. So most immigration lawyers recommend go for the O-1. And then if you get some really great credits under your belt, then go for the green card. Or you can also get the green card if you like end up getting married to someone in the U.S., for example, you know, so there's, you know, hopefully that'll happen to me with Anya.
Okay. Awesome. Now, Anya, where is she from?
Austria.
Austria. So is she on a similar situation then?
She got her green card.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. So you know, I wanted to bring that up and shed light there because that's a huge issue for people who want to move to LA, right? Or move to the United States. So
yeah, well, you can technically come for just under 6 months if you're from Canada and then go back for 6 months and then come back. You just can't be out of the country more than 6 months of the year or else you won't be considered a citizen anymore.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
All right, so cool. We got that wrapped. How did you get into music? What was the impetus there, the early inspiration?
Well, I really loved singing. So I also like copied my older sister, everything she did. She was doing singing lessons and I always loved to sing. So I asked my parents, can I please go into singing lessons too? I was 7. I started singing lessons and I went into theater and did, you know, I just lived for getting the singing roles in the theater productions and then recorded my first song when I was 10, was Elvis Presley, Teddy Bear. Cover song, and then I was in my first girl group when I was 11, which later evolved into a band that like already actually got somewhere. My mom actually was really integral into like getting us seen, and she opened up an indie label and got us distributed with Universal and signed to CAA, and we did tours. And so part of my high school experience, I was with tutors on the road. And then when we disbanded, I was like, this industry is dirty and disgusting, just because like there were so many like weird instances, and like I would be performing at clubs and they're giving me drugs and alcohol at like such a young age, and I felt like I just had like a bad experience. And also at the same time as a band breaking up, my parents got divorced, and I was like depressed, and I was like, fuck the industry, I hope I'm allowed to say the F. And then I was but I couldn't help it, years later I fell back into music.
Okay, hold on, because you said a lifetime amount of stuff right here.
Yes.
So we got to unpack some things. All right, so number one.
My suitcase. Yeah. So you got to unpack it.
You know the new suitcases they have where you just open it up and everything's in shelves, right? You see that?
Get me one of those.
Oh, dude, that's like my thing. I can't
wait. Send me a link.
My wife knows. I will. My wife knows. Sorry, I'm a bag whore. I don't know if we could say that word either, but I love bags. I'm a nomad. I travel, right? That's what we do. Anyway, it's not a bag whore. It's a suitcase. Okay, anyway.
Okay.
All right, so my point is, first of all, I was going to say, parents. It's an amazing thing when you have parents who support you. My parents supported me to the end. For those of us in the music industry who don't have supportive parents, that's a whole nother road. But what you said about your mom spun my head. Not only did she support you, not only did she take you out getting gigs, she created her own indie label, got you distribution, and got you touring?
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, who does that?
I know, she really
believed
in us, you know, and just
wow.
She saw how much we love music, and yeah, it was pretty amazing.
That's a huge head start.
Yeah, I don't think I was so young, I didn't really like realize what was
right.
going on. And like now as an independent artist, like always making music, like I haven't had that amount of success since that indie pop band, you know, situation. But
yeah.
I'm like such a better performer and songwriter now than I am then. But it just goes to show like how important it is to have someone championing you.
But that's why when I saw your art, when I saw your videos and heard your songs, you're so good. Because you cut your teeth the right way. You didn't just, you know, start, and there's nothing wrong with this, but you weren't just a little bedroom producer, writer, and then all of a sudden, oh, bam, now I'm a star. You had this whole development stage. And let's face it, in the industry today, we're missing development, right? Back
mm-hmm.
in the day, artists used to be developed
mm-hmm.
months, years at a time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your mom did that for you.
Yeah, definitely.
That's pretty cool.
Put a lot of my own work, I'd say, like, where I most developed was getting a songwriting mentor and like someone really teaching me the craft of songwriting.
I want to hear more about that. How did you go about that?
So in Toronto, I got a big grant. I got a $20,000 grant in like 2015 to make an album, because the Canadian government supports the artists. And I was like,
you just keep dropping these bombs, because now you're going to have to tell the story about that. We'll come back.
So this connects to it. And so I was like, okay, well, now I finally have a budget. So I want some really good material. And I always felt like I was a really mediocre writer. Like, I thought they were okay, my songs, but like not amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I found someone named Steve Fernandez. Like, I'll forever credit him as like really developing me as an artist when it comes to the craft of songwriting. He just taught me everything, like how songs are lyrics, melody, delivery, production, and how like you need to have at least 3 out of 4 to be amazing, and what makes great lyrics, what makes great melody, and what makes great production, and how to deliver something with authenticity and in an organic way that really draws in the listener. And he just like taught me everything about song analysis and then writing songs, and he really challenged me, and he kind of like acted as if like kind of like a therapist, like interpreting my story and putting it into art with me and showing me how to do that. And I've taken what I've learned from him into writing for other artists and like how I treat them and like bring their story alive. So now I teach songwriting workshops, and I've been a professional songwriter for a while, writing on a lot of indie projects and some label projects, but mostly emerging artists who need direction with co-writes.
Incredible. All right, how did you go about seeking that grant?
So there's a ton of grants. There's like Factor, there's the Ontario Arts Council, the Canadian Arts Council. Those are like the main three. There's always other little things. But you basically have to get either an amazing grant writer or learn how to write a grant yourself. And it's really hard to get the grant. I applied a few times and I got it. And since then, I've applied 4 or 5 times and haven't gotten it again. But I just keep trying. they're hard to get, but they're possible. And they really support marginalized communities a lot, too. So that's really nice.
That's excellent. So that first grant helped you get your first EP project up and running?
Yes, under Ari.
Under just Ari.
Yeah.
Not X, sorry.
I was Ari at that time. Before that, I was putting up music under my personal name, and I was releasing. I had another EP, and I had an album with my pop band, and I had an EP with a rock band, but this was the first time I started, like, my project that I'm working on now. So that was EP number one, Tunnel Vision, and now I'm currently working on my sixth EP.
Sixth?
Yes. That's one of the hardest words for me to say.
That's a hard word to say. Hold on a minute. Time span from EP 1 to EP 6?
Wrote EP 1 in 2015, released it in 2016.
Okay, so first of all, you're an overachiever.
Yeah, I'm definitely type A.
I love it. I can relate on the same way. I think a lot of us creatives are. But then I also know a lot of creatives who are a little less motivated. Six EPs within an 8-year span is impressive.
Thank you.
So let's talk about your production schedule. Do you plan out your quarters and your annual schedule? Do you take it by the seat of your pants? You know, you just figure it out as you go? What's your method there?
I'm inspired to write, and I write just a lot of music. So sometimes I write up to 30 songs before I pick the finals to take. So first there's the creative process, and then picking the final songs. And then when I'm close to being ready to pick the final songs, that's when I go, what's the release schedule looking like? Mm-hmm. Because there's no point in setting a release schedule if I haven't finished writing all the material. Mm-hmm. And then once I know, okay, I think I'm going to write one or two more and then make my final decision, that's when I start game planning a release. And also I have to time it with the producer, make sure that they're available and it works within their schedule to do all my recordings by a certain deadline. So I work out the deadline with the producer and I release singles along the way. So kind of like while I'm writing my 6 EP, I've already been dropping singles from the 6 EP because I know which ones are my favorite, like that are going to make it on no matter what. So I just like, you know, drop those, and then I have one of them that I wrote that like doesn't feel like it fits on the EP, so I'm putting that as a single separate from the EP while I'm dropping up the singles on the EP. And then I'm gonna put out a music video in July, drop a song off the EP for Suicide Prevention Month with American Foundation of Suicide Prevention in September for Suicide Prevention Month, and then in October near World Mental Health Day, I'm gonna release my EP because I'm all about mental health, so I try to time things to be topical.
I love that. I love the topical concept, and I love how regimented you are. So in my new book that is coming out soon, I talk about running yourself, your business as a musician, just like a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about borrowing from the C-suite infrastructure, right? CEO, COO, CFO, mm-hmm. Chief Financial Officer, you know, Chief Operations Officer, and CEO of yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you're exemplifying here. So
Thank you.
Love that. It's incredible.
So I get an A+?
You get an A+. Not that I'm not trying to sound like I'm being like, oh.
Did I no, pass your book?
Oh my God. No, but you know what I'm trying
to
say.
I should still read it though, right?
You're gonna give me shit. All right, shit. All right. I like it. You better read it. Okay, so the reason why I bring that up, because again, so many musicians get lost in the process. It's an overwhelming, you know, field to pursue.
Definitely.
Just, there's no doubt about it. And now that we have all the tools, it's even more overwhelming because now we have to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, if you did get signed, you could take a sigh of relief because you didn't have to worry about,
mm-hmm.
you know, so much of what the label handled.
Yes,
right?
You just get to be creative.
If you had a manager and an agent, of course.
Oh, but how life would be.
Yeah, exactly. But you're doing it all. You do a really good job marketing. You do a fantastic job producing your videos.
Thank you.
So that's what I love about it. And I like your topical thing, creative process. Do you box yourself in? Do you say, okay, because you are going with these time-based topics, Q1, I'm just writing. Q2, I'm going to go into pre-production. You know, how do you do it like that, or is it a little bit less rigid, a little bit more fluid?
I think it's more fluid. It's just like, I'm inspired, let's write, and let's write until I feel like I have enough material that I have something to work with, you know?
Love it.
And I don't need deadlines, like, in the sense of, like, I just go free-flowing. I know, like, at least once a year I'm going to put out an EP. Usually it's in the summer. This year I decided to delay it to October But it depends. Most of my releases have been summer or October releases. And I just know one EP a year is perfect for me, and that I could do that. I write songs in an hour and a half. So
well, that's right.
It's really easy for me to. I can make an EP in a month if I had to. I just don't want to. You know, I want to write and get the cream of the crop.
Sure, sure. Well, first of all, I love how you get a big collection and then you choose. That's the right way to do it. I mean, honestly, that's been the tried and true method for eons. But then the other thing I wanted to say is, when you're connected to the muse, which I believe we all are,
yes,
and if you have that open channel, right, you tap in and you get it done.
Tap in, yeah.
All right. So listen, going back earlier when you said about, you know, you were touring, your mom got you the deal with the agency, what was it?
CAA. We broke up before we got a chance to, like, let them do anything for us, but okay. It was an accomplishment just to get that signed.
But I want to go back to the concept that you were saying. You went on the road a little bit. You did a bunch of gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some really bad things go down.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
So I guess, like, I was the youngest in the group and, you know, was, like, just not under the best influence. Like, they're great girls. One's my sister, one was a friend through the band. But, like, you know, they were all of age drinking and I was the underage one. So I'd be given drinks all the time and doing drugs and just, like, getting messed up all the time.
So you did fall prey.
Yeah, yeah, and like we'd go stay at a hotel and we would like raid the, you know, the liquor,
sure,
whatever, and like get wasted all the time. So it was a little bit nutty.
Yeah.
I got like a tattoo when I was 15 in Hawaii on tour.
Wow. But like, yeah. I said, you kind of cut your teeth at the same time. You kind of went a little overboard.
Yeah, yeah, and I was also like depressed. I was like going through my first episode of depression. I remember on the road like crying a lot on one of the tours and. It was my first real experience with depression, you know, so.
And that is really how you and I met under that auspice of Wisdomania, right?
Yes.
And so now let's tie it all in. That's why we're here. And this episode is airing in May, right?
For Mental Health Month.
Mental Health Month.
Yes.
So here you go. Here's the platform. Tell us all about it.
Okay. So Wisdomania Fest?
Everything.
Okay.
Because firsthand, you were experiencing depression, and then that morphed into what you're doing now today.
Definitely.
It evolved into it over time, right?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Well, it actually started, I'd say my mental health challenges started when I was about 8 years old. I had like severe anxiety and obsessive thinking, and then I later struggled with like eating disorders. Like I was very scared of getting fat, like at a really young age, especially because of being a figure skater, and also like some family members were a little overweight, so I thought, like, I'm going to be next to be fat. I shouldn't eat. And I eventually got over that. But then in high school, I developed depression around the time when my parents went through a divorce. And then I just struggled in and out of depression and anxiety throughout high school. And then when I was in university, I started experiencing sleep paralysis, which is a sleep disorder where you wake up paralyzed and have hallucinations. And so then I couldn't sleep, so then I got addicted to sleeping pills, and then I went to my doctor, and I was like, I'm depressed all the time, probably because of the sleeping pills, was given an SSRI, ended up having a psychotic episode with the SSRI and having to file disability at school.
The SSRI, what's that?
That's a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, which is like, serotonin is a neurotransmitter that is instrumental in regulating mood, sleep, and eating. And it's a big part of depression. So that's what it's supposed to do, is keep your happy chemical going. But it turns out later in life, I found out I'm bipolar, or I have bipolar. I shouldn't say I am bipolar, because it's not me. I have bipolar. So because we didn't know I have bipolar at that time, it turns out SSRIs actually trigger bipolar episodes. So I was taking meds that were giving me a terrible reaction. I had to file for disability at school. I later came back and finished my thesis and wrapped up and graduated with 2 distinctions. And at that time, I thought, you know what? Like, I was also having panic attacks in and out of the hospital. I was too scared to stay at the hospital, so I kept going and leaving. And I never got, like, the help I really needed. And when I finally got better, I went to a psychiatrist, and he's like, you have sleep paralysis from childhood trauma, and it's PTSD coming out in your sleep, and you have ADHD, and he's like, and maybe cyclothymia, which is a precursor to bipolar. So he put me on ADHD medication, and that really changed my life, because all of a sudden I was focusing and finishing tasks, and it also can elevate your mood, so it helped me with depression.
Mm.
And then So I thought that's like a one-off experience. Like, I'm never going to have an episode again, you know, okay, I'm fine. And then years later, you know, I had another years later, like I was 23 and it was 6 years later. And I had an episode of of depression, PTSD, mania, psychosis, and hospitalization. The psychosis happened in the hospital. And I went there with mania and was diagnosed with bipolar. And I was like, no. This is, I wasn't sleeping. This happened and this circumstance happened. I'm not bipolar. I refuse.
Yeah. Just spreading yourself too thin.
Justified it with all these things. I really found the labeling of bipolar like a death sentence. Like, I thought this is like the end of my life. Mm-hmm. So like, no, I can't have this disorder. So I got off the meds quite quickly. And then a year and a half later, had another episode. And that's when I was like, fine, I'll take the diagnosis. I have bipolar. I believe it now. And I decided to get on meds for life, which is probably what I'll need to do. And then a couple years later, had another episode, but I didn't have psychosis. And so since I recovered in 2017 from that major episode where I was first hospitalized, I decided I'm going to advocate for mental health. I'm going to write about it in my music. Mm-hmm. Instead of being full of self-stigma, which I started off with, I was so ashamed and so embarrassed and humiliated, and I didn't want anyone to know. I was like, I'm going to flip this and do the opposite. I'm going to tell everyone. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to be proud of my experiences. I'm going to shine light and hopefully inspire other people who felt alone like I did, because I didn't see anyone talking about psychosis and bipolar the way I do, and I needed to see that so badly. So I was like, if I needed to see that, I could be that for other people.
You could be that person. You just answered my next question.
Yes.
You're so vocal about it.
And
you know, your vulnerability, you know, comes out, and I respect that about you.
Thank you.
That's amazing. So now we know why.
Yes.
And the chances are, like you said, if you're going through it, how many countless other people out there are going through it?
Well, statistics are 1 in 5 people deal with mental illness.
Right.
So that means either we ourselves or someone we know has mental illness, and it takes the average person 11 years to get help. So that's why it's so important to talk about it, and suicide rates are going up, especially in the LGBTQ+ and other like communities that are marginalized. There's a lot of suicide, right, and it needs to be reduced. And the more we talk about it, the more we normalize the conversation, the more safe spaces we have, the less people hopefully will make permanent solutions to temporary problems. And I just hope to be a small part of that change, you know, and just breaking the stigma. And so that's one of the main reasons why I did Wisdom Mania Fest. So Wisdom Mania Fest, a mental health and arts festival. Our invite is enter with an open heart, leave with newfound wisdom.
Slow that down. Say it again.
Enter with an open heart and leave with newfound wisdom.
Enter with an open heart and leave with newfound wisdom. I love that.
Yes, thank you. And we have self-care sessions, creative workshops, live music, comedy, film, a drag queen, everybody who's performing is part of the LGBTQ+ community. I told you recently, we just got sponsored by Spotify, which is huge for us. We've partnered with IKEA. I've really like done a lot for the first year. I also founded a nonprofit called Wisdom Mania Foundation. So it's been a really productive year, and it's really exciting. Yeah,
that's incredible. Okay, so this is your second year with Wisdom Mania. I'm sorry.
Last year I did Mental Health Month with XRE, which was a 30-day free month long, like I just said, 30 days event, and it was like every like 4 to 5 days of the week, we did an hour or two of self-care on Zoom.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, this is a lot of organizing for a whole month. And it was interesting too, because I literally just recovered from a manic episode. And then I was like, I need to do something for Mental Health Month. Like, we need this. And so many people signed on. So many people wanted to partner and teach workshops. I thought, wow, what a community. I need to make this an in-person festival. Let's become the Coachella of wellness over time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what spawned Wisdom Mania Fest into a 2-day condensed 16-plus hour experience. Which, yeah, no one has to tune in 16 hours, but just come to whatever excites you kind of thing.
Where did you blast the initial, that 30-day stint that you did? How did you get the word out for people to sign up? I mean, obviously social media, but I mean, did you pay for ads? Did you sponsorship help? You know,
I didn't at that point know anything about sponsorship, and I literally planned it in 3 weeks, so I didn't have time to like get sponsors. But human resources at Warner Music Group, through one of our board members, Moti Shulman, who at that time I didn't have a board, he was just a friend, not just a friend, a great friend, and he really believes in me. So he was like, "I love what you're doing. Let me bring it to Warner Music." So HR invited 3,000 Warner Music Group staff.
There you
also
go.
Verizon Media loved it. So they shared it on their channels with thousands of staff members at Verizon. Those two big blasts helped get the word out. And then just all the different organizations hosting their workshop would post about the event and people would tune in.
And how about now? Where are you at with, getting visibility now?
We have a marketing, one of our partners is a marketing agency and they invested in doing digital marketing for us. But really that's not like where most of the, we're mostly like giving away free tickets this year, to be honest, because I think a lot of people are burnt out on online events. Mm-hmm. And we realize if we weren't in person, we probably would have had higher hard ticket sales. We have about 630 registrants. Is that how you say it? Registrants? Registered guests.
Yeah.
And, but a lot of it is free tickets. We just were like, people come. We don't want financial barriers to getting the help you need. And also this year is a great opportunity to build awareness, build a foundation. So next year, hopefully people are like, hey, I got a free ticket last year. I'm going to come and get a ticket and attend in person.
That's awesome. Very smart. Very smart.
Thanks.
Okay. So, wow. So much. It's incredible. It's incredible. What do you prefer doing most throughout your days? Like, what is your favorite thing to do? I'm guessing songwriting.
I think any form of collaboration. When it's a songwriting session, I love coming up with ideas and just creating something from nothing with someone else. Also, I love getting on Zoom when it has to do with the festival or the foundation and coming up with a way, literally collaborating on some idea. For example, I had a great meeting with It Gets Better. They're an activist group for LGBTQ+ communities. And we had a great call and I was like, oh, at Wisdom Media Fest, in our songwriting session, we should write a song called It Gets Better. And then we can release it as a collab, and coming up on the spot, downloading, whether it's downloading a creative idea or downloading a possible partnership. I love the creative process.
Okay.
And doing that and the banter with someone else.
Right, right. Now, the fact I want to be sensitive to this, so here's me being vulnerable. How did you discover your sexuality and how did that play into your whole purpose, with the mental health awareness?
Definitely. So in November 2020, I was doing Reiki on myself, which is energetic healing. Mm-hmm. And I got this download from the universe because I, as an artist channeling songwriting, I also channel messages through Reiki. And I got this message of, you are not ready for true love until you go through a certain experience. And then I was like, what could that be? And then I had these interesting conversations that had to do with sexuality and things like that, over a couple days. And then I just had this aha, insightful moment where I downloaded it's dating women. That's what I need to be open for. I was never in the closet. I never dated women before. I never even considered the possibility. I didn't even know if I could. But I told myself, if my spirit guides and the universe or God, whatever you call it, for me, it's universal love, light, source energy, coming to me and my spirit guides. Every time I get a message, I always should follow it. I've never been wrong following my heart and following a message or an inner voice or a note from a spirit guide. It's never led me wrong. Right. So I was okay, I need to listen to this thing. I guess I'm going all in. Wow. And then I changed my preferences on dating apps to women. And I was wow, there's so many girls. And then I just spent probably 20 hours on one weekend, swiping and went deep. And then I was like,
rabbit hole. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then I set up 3 dates on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Here's what I love about it. You're so methodical. And the reason why I'm laughing is because I'm the same way. I'm regimented. Even with your dating, in 3 days, I got to knock this project out. It's not a project.
I know, but it works. It works great.
Oh, yeah? So is that how you met Anya?
Anya was my Friday date.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It totally worked. And in the first 2 dates, it felt like friends because I've never dated a woman, so it felt like I was out with a friend. I was like, oh, I'm not into this. Yeah, what is this? So on the way to the 3rd date, I was like, okay, I don't know. Listen to spirit guides, sure. But if this doesn't go well, I'm just going to relax,
Yeah, just chill.
And be organic about how I meet people.
Right, right.
And then so I get there and then I see her and I'm like, she's gorgeous. We had a great conversation. And then we dated exclusively since November 20th, 2020. And And she's the girl.
Yeah. November 20th of 2020. Yes. So you got 320s in a row there. Yes. I like that. Yes. Okay. Wow. That is really cool.
Thanks.
Okay. Wow. And you said something earlier about you, and it was 6 years later and I was 29. You look like you're 20. What are you talking about?
I'm turning 35 this weekend.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you're turning 20 again this weekend. This weekend.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. All right. Wisdom Media Fest.
Oh, birthday. That's right. Well, yeah. You did say.
I lined it up, you know, and I could be like, it's my birthday. You have to come.
Yes. You like topical. I love it. That's so awesome. All right, cool. What else do you want to tell us about your music? Because you know what? I did want to touch on this. You showed me a video you were here last time that I was just blown away. You had eggs on your face and crayons and feathers and oil. And I'm like, how the hell did you do that? What is that song again?
Breakpoint.
Breakpoint. Yeah. Talk about that, please. And shed light on the song, but also the video production.
Yeah. Okay. So the song, actually, I wrote just after Coachella 2018 when I felt like I was like precipitating this feeling of another episode coming on.
And you can sense that?
I felt it. Yeah. I felt like this like PTSD and fears of it happening again and like senses of like feeling kind of out of myself and just like I felt like it was coming on. And I decided to write a song about my last experience with my episode in 2016 that led to hospitalization. So I wrote Breakpoint about that, and then like maybe a month after I had another episode. So Breakpoint's about that, literally that point where like you break, you know? And right now I'm learning how to bend rather than break, and over time I learned how to do that.
Well said.
Thank you.
Bend then break.
Yeah.
It's like responding instead of reacting.
Exactly.
Like,
proactive care rather than reactive.
That's
care.
Right.
I'm always taking care of myself. I don't just take care of myself reactively. It's an everyday thing.
I love that.
Thank you.
We all need to be that, because by the time you go to the hospital it's too late.
Yeah, it's not too late.
The thing already happens.
Yeah.
So be preventative
by just like prioritizing your mental health, doing self-care, whether that means getting in nature, sleeping well, eating healthy, exercising, taking your vitamins, spending time with friends, doing acts of kindness, meditating, whatever it is for you, do it, because we all have mental health. You don't need mental illness to take care of your mental health.
And that's what May 19th is about, Action Day, right?
Yes, Mental Health Action Day.
Yeah, so we take action by being proactive for ourselves.
Exactly.
That's one of the ways, right?
Yes. And I just did the filming of our workshop with MTV yesterday for Mental Health Action Day.
Wow.
Yeah, we did a collab with Save the Music and MTV at a school in Los Angeles where we taught songwriting for wellness, which incorporates reflection, meditation, breath work, songwriting, performance, and mental health resources.
Incredible. Yeah. And that was through Jay Osterman and Henry Donahue?
Jay and I did it, and also Daniel from Save the Music. I haven't
met. Beautiful. Okay, well, yeah, because he'll be on the show eventually here soon. So
cool.
That's awesome. Wow, okay. So getting back to the song, Breaking Point. So that was the impetus for writing Breakpoint.
Yes.
That's why you wrote it.
Yeah.
And then I remember picking your brain about the video production.
Yeah.
You know, give us this quick scoop on that.
It's my favorite video. I've made a few that I really like, but this one's my favorite. And I really just, like, I feel like this might sound, like, not, like, so full of depth, but I felt like, how do I get people to watch this video? There's so much content out there. So I just thought of like the silliest concept of like one thing after another, just leveling up the silliness so that people are gonna be anticipating what's coming next. So I literally just came up with a bunch of funny things and put them back to back, so to keep the listener active.
See, I didn't think of them as funny. I thought of them as like awe-inspiring. They were like, they kept pulling me in, which was your goal, but in a way like, wait, what the hell is she doing?
Yeah,
now?
Like, a little confusing, like, and
what?
Absurd.
Bewildering. Yeah.
A little like, you're like, what's going on? Like,
right.
And I think my vision was like, what can I do so they don't click exit, you know? And
that's right.
And then I just like decided, oh, I'll come up with a bunch of random yet kind of connected things that build on top of each other. And, you know, and then I ended up as my Ira X, my alter ego, because Ira X, I changed into my drag king name Ira X because he was my alter ego on that concept EP, which was called Unify. And it was about balancing the yin and the yang of like male and female identities within oneself, which was inspired by a psychotic episode where I struggled with my identity as in my gender. So I brought that into my art, and then I was a drag king at some of my shows for a little bit. It was just so fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like my wife says, you are an onion with many, many layers.
I don't smell too bad.
No, you don't smell. That is awesome. Okay, but just give us, what were some of the little tricks you did? Because you told me, or you don't want to divulge.
Oh, which?
For the
which
video.
Is?
Oh. You had like melted wax or.
I like emptied out an egg, like I put a pinhole, and I drained an egg and I put glitter glue in it.
Right.
And then cracked the egg on my head and smushed the glitter everywhere. I took raspberries and smushed them into my eyes. I brushed my teeth with Nutella.
That's what it was. I was like, what is that?
And I was like, they might think it's poop in the water. I'm just weird. It's just me living my weirdo dreams.
All right, so where can everybody find all your music?
Everything is on Spotify, x.space, A-R-I, or you can search x.ari, or my website's xreofficial.com. I have everything on there, including mental health tips and resources if you're looking for anything, like hotlines or therapy or ways to practice self-care, improve your happiness, get creative, and podcasts, all that good stuff. So if you're looking for resources, it's on my site. And Wisdomania Fest, WISDOMANIAFest.com also has those resources and tickets.
The thing is, one more time, it's like wisdom, but wisdo, and then mania.
Exactly.
Put those two things together. Yeah.
Cut out one M. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
Okay, so what's next?
What's next? I guess, well, I have a big travel plan coming up, so I'm going traveling with Anya for 4 months.
For holiday?
For work travel.
Okay.
And but I'm going to be part-time. And we're going to Toronto and all over Europe, and then the next step of Wisdomania Fest will be looking for a new venue, since we'll be in person, and game planning new sponsors or continued partnerships with our existing sponsors. Mm-hmm. And then for myself, I'm putting out, for my music, I'm putting out Don't Die Without Me, my music video. I think I played you that song. I'm putting out the music video, which is like me playing a white piano and then a green screen of Anya and I having a day together. And that comes out in July. I'm going to have a release party in Toronto at the Alma Combo. And then in September, I'm putting out that song I told you about. It's called Don't Choose Heaven. And then the EP, I haven't titled it yet, but that's going to come out in October. So that's what's going on with music and the festival and my personal life.
Incredible. You got it all wrapped up.
With a little bow on top.
It's done. What color is the bow?
I want to say red.
Okay.
This is a power color.
Okay.
This
has been great.
Yes, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. And we just met not too long ago from some mutual friends. Jack Pyatt is a dear friend of mine.
So, such a good guy.
Amazing.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's the best. And he connected us. And he also got us a kombucha and water sponsor with PH Water for the festival. So, that's nice. Shout out to them and Jack.
That's right.
Yeah. And he connected us, and that's awesome, because that's what he does. He connects people.
Well, the mission here at The Career Musician is to empower musicians with strategies for a sustainable career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means like how not to go starving as a musician, whether you're pursuing it as an artist, or you want to play for other people, or you're composing and producing or writing songs. And I think that you just hit all those bars. You just like, you're not starving. And I don't just mean that monetarily, okay? I mean that in a broader context, zooming out, macro vision. You know, you've really, really, I feel like you've juiced all of your resources to your best advantage.
Thank you. I actually recorded a song where I say, actually I'm supposed to record it, it's on my to-do list, where I say squeeze out the juice. So it's funny you said that. But I'm not like funding my life through music, but I have so many avenues of income, and like I'm very happy with where I'm at with my music, although like it would be nice to be able to live off it. But if I was to tell anyone how they could live off music, which you would know more than I would, I'd say be a producer and like learn how to produce, because producers charge the money, and like songwriters rarely make enough money off royalties, and artists are typically, unless they're funded by a label, are funding their own careers. So if you want to make money, be a producer, and a good one.
That's right. And that's exactly what our course talks about. We have a course, 6 Steps to Recording, Pro Level Sessions from Home.
Yeah.
And basically what you went through during the pandemic of learning how to record your vocals.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I wanted to ask you, how did you go about that?
I just asked my producer who I was working with in Toronto, like, what do I need? I had a microphone already, but I didn't have like a good like soundproofing. So he sent me a link, and I found on Sweetwater like a really great, what do you call it?
A little vocal baffle.
Yeah, just
put
like
around the microphone.
Like a little booth. Like I made a little booth. It's like a panel. That's what the one I'm looking for looks like.
Right.
So I have a panel now, and I record everything at home. Sometimes I'll do final vocals in a proper studio, but I actually use some of my vocals for finals, so it's pretty great.
And we have the technology today.
Yeah, and I just, like, yesterday I recorded a song, and, like, I just have it down in, like, 45 minutes, boom, boom, boom. Like, I know what I need to get. I've gotten so much better at vocal production because of doing it myself, yeah.
Well, and last thing, actually, multiple streams of income is the secret. And that's the secret for the career musician. That's our whole, you know, thing. You said you have some multiple streams of income. What do you do to fund your life?
So, one, my mother owns a brokerage, so I'm a mortgage agent, so that, like, closing deals, I get commissions, so I don't have a salary, so I have to, like, work on a certain amount of deals. I do that very part-time, like, sometimes 1 hour a day, sometimes 4 hours, sometimes not that day, so it's on my own schedule. And she also, like, supports that I have other passions, so if I need a day off, it's really easy for me to do that, to work on the festival or do something for music. And then I get paid for songwriting sessions.
That's right.
I also have the foundation, which we get donations from, and I can pay myself when I do work and songwrite for classes. Mm-hmm. Also, working for Wisdomania Fest, I can pay myself a fee for the work I do, and also performing at my festival, so performances, I get paid. And I'm also a mortgage lender, so I've lent out this year on my first mortgage, so every month I have a check for interest. So, yeah, variety of income.
Once again, you nailed it. So you are a true career musician, because part of that income is coming from music. So.
Yes, yeah.
I hate to burst your bubble.
Not enough to live the lifestyle I want to live, but okay. Yes, well, yes, yeah. I like to live.
Well, I'm in Burbank, not Beverly Hills, okay? Hey, it's called life.
Yeah. You know?
This has been great, Ari. I can't wait to get in the studio with you and start writing and working on something.
Yes, yeah, me too. It'd be so fun. We should write something special.
Awesome.
Maybe something for Sync.
Absolutely. Yes. That should be the goal.
Yes.
And we will make it topical. Like you said, we'll find a theme that we can really focus on. You know what? And this is good fodder for those people listening or watching that are wondering, well, I don't know how, you know, where do I start? Okay. Well, if you're stuck for ideas, what do you say to those people?
Live life. Because honestly, don't force it. If you're stuck on ideas, just, like, go live a little and have an experience that inspires you to write.
That's it. And then it'll happen.
Totally.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming to The Career Musician.
Thank you so much for having me, Nomad.
Absolutely. I think we should do a hug.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yay.
Awesome. And we got our blocking right. So everything is just right, right? You felt good about that?
Shouldn't go this.
Just don't. Yeah. And we're both, like, sitting up straight.
I'm just, like, rolling the shoulders back.
The whole time. This is good for blooper reels.